knowing beyond influences, so that we can let go and fly free and go home. It's appropriate song. If I look at the story of the cycle, it's the story of how the powerful influences that which is less powerful, and the whole cycle revolves around that. The soul in the golden age, Sapupradhan, so powerful, but of course it's the power of purity. And in Kali Yuga it's a different type of power. We're still using the same word, power, but it's very different. But in Satyug, the Sapupradhan soul and the power of purity. And just think about the things that Baba has described to us about matter, and how the influence of Sapupradhan soul is creating not just pure matter, but matter that is light. So not just the same matter clean, but somehow it's gone through a process of becoming light also. And the body that's created out of these pure elements, and the soul is using the body, it still needs the body, but there's no influence of body on the soul. The soul is able to connect with another soul to soul. Soul is able to feel the other. Soul is able to just connect with everything around. And so, although it's in matter, but definitely nothing of matter is influencing it or restricting it in any way at all. And so that's the stage of the Sapupradhan, purity of the soul. And then you get to the Silver Age. And like we explained to new students, gold, and it doesn't tarnish. The air, the sun, the water, no impact, no effect. I've had this gold ring that Sakar Baba gave me in 1968. Haven't had it changed. Touch wood, I've never lost it. But you could just see gold. And silver, no, doesn't work quite like that. So yes, some sort of influence has begun. And nothing that's bad, but definitely there is some influence. And so, soul gradually losing power. Nothing wrong that it's done, but it's not connecting with God. And so no possibility of any recharge. And so, gradual loss. And so, we describe the stage of 14 degrees rather than 16 degrees. So it's not that two qualities are lost, rather it's that instead of that sparkle, everything's a little less. Not as easy, not as smooth, just a little less. And so influence, the soul not so powerful as to be able to influence matter in the same way, still harmony with matter, but not the same quality. And of course then the story of the Copper Age. And it's not that there's suddenly body consciousness that comes in, but it's been gradual loss of that power. And then, yes, I begin to identify with matter rather than with spirit. And so the influence of matter has already started in the Copper Age already. And so the whole story of influence in a very negative way begins at that moment. Love for God, search for God, but no connection with God. And so go down further and further, and from Rajapradhan, well, still, you're managing. It's okay. Things are not too bad. But you reach Kali Yuga and Tamo Pradhan. And now at the end of Kali Yuga, how much influence is there? The way I think, the way I behave, the way I eat, whatever it is I'm doing, everything is influence. But I say I've come from this particular country, and in my country this is how we do things. What is that? That is influence. Somebody sent me a little video this afternoon, literally this afternoon, and maybe they knew that this is the topic I'm taking up. I don't know, because they're not part of the DF group, but anyway. And it showed how there's a group of people sitting in a waiting room, and the commentator is saying that, well, all these people are paid to do something, and there's only one woman who's come in just now, and she thinks she's come in for a free eye test, and she doesn't know what's happening. There's a bleep, and everybody stands up, and she's sitting down, and she notices everybody's standing. Second bleep, and again, they stand up and sit down, and the commentator asks, how long is it going to take for this woman to be influenced? Third bleep, and she stands up, without knowing why, but she stands up. And then the commentator says, watch this next scene. And the next scene is, everybody goes off, they're called for something, and they all go. Now she's alone in the waiting room. Is she going to stand up when she hears the bleep? Okay, so she was following the social norm. She was observing the norm. Now, is she going to do it just on her own? Guess what? She does. The bleep goes and she stands up. And then new people start coming in who are not paid. They don't know what's going on. One person, and he sees she's standing up. Second time, he sees again. Third time, he stands up. It's interesting. And of course, everybody else who comes in after that, by the third bleep, they're all standing up. So the point is that, and then there's a psychologist who's speaking and saying that whatever it is we are doing in life is so much the question of following the social norm and being influenced by whatever it is that's going on. Very rarely does a person actually challenge what's going on and say, hey, let me step out of this and say, should I or should I not? They just simply observe and follow. They're influenced. And so one of the things that Baba talks about is following social customs and systems. And all of you, why Baba loves the double foreigners so much, it was interesting the other night that he asking the question, why do double foreigners love Baba especially, and why does Baba love you especially? And one of the answers that Baba has given in Abhyakt Muralis, Sakar days, you weren't around, you were somewhere else. But Avyev days, right from the beginning, you've been there. So in that, Baba's always said that it's because you've had the courage to break the barriers of religion, of social customs and systems, and start following the Brahman code of conduct. And so in Bharat, if you say, I'm going to become vegetarian, people will say, that's fine, it's not a big deal. Abroad, in most cultures, you say, I'm going to be vegetarian, and you have to face quite a lot of challenges. And yet, you all did that, and you did that without too much effort in a way. Many things in Brahmin life, you decided that this is what Baba is saying, this is what is good for you, and this is what you want to do. and so you make the switch. But still, to some extent or another, that influence stays in the soul. Even the question of accepting spirituality, spiritual knowledge, spiritual teachings. Some come from countries where they don't believe in God. And some come from countries where there's a lot of love for God already. But especially those who come from places where they don't believe in God, and that's not just places that were socialist, but it's Northern Europe generally. A lot of people don't believe in God. And that influence, what it is I believe, that's a very, very powerful influence on the soul. And parents who don't believe, and yet there's something within the soul that stirs and seeks God, and God finds them, and you're here. I'm just curious, out of the gathering here, who came from a background where there was no belief in God? Okay. I mean, it's a small gathering today, but I'd say a good 30%, if I'm correct. I'm not hot on figures, but about 25 to 30%, which is quite a huge percentage. And yet today, you believe. And so, there was again that barrier of not believing. And this is why Baba uses an interesting word. Have the faith that you are a soul. And then you can move further and have faith that there is God. But that first step of faith, how do I develop faith? Firstly, I have to get away from those other influences and start thinking for myself. It's very interesting when I was sharing that story about following social norms. What's happening at that moment? The influence of society is so strong that the intellect, the conscience, I should actually say conscience, the conscience can't think for itself. There's an outside influence and you follow and you say, this is how I have to do it. The conscience has stopped working. And so when the soul is tamopradhan, then in that tamopradhan state, absolutely no power at all. Did I have power to control my mind? Did I have power to take care of my emotions? Did I have power to look after myself and not fall into bad habits, of whether it's external addictions of substances or inner addictions of anger and greed and so on? I didn't. And so the soul in its tamopradhan state, very, very weak. And in that weak state, not only the influences that Baba spoke about this morning, why I thought about this subject is because Baba was using this word attraction, the pull of the body, the pull of bodily relations, the pull of my sanskars, the pull of the atmosphere, the pull of vibrations. Baba spoke about all of these attractions, these pulls. But that stage of being pulled in a gross way is one level, but another level is the influence that still stays. And so I'm seeing the pull is quite a big thing, and the influence is a more subtle thing. And what are those influences at the moment that the soul is experiencing? And definitely one very big influence had been the situation where whatever was the belief system I was surrounded by, I accepted it. And even in Bharat today, never mind anywhere else, but in Bharat today, how many people have the consciousness of being a soul? The majority will believe that there is a soul. They'll even say, I have a soul. But that I am a soul, they don't experience it, they don't practice it. And we can see the proof of that. And if even after knowing, it takes us so much inner effort to keep reminding ourselves, come back here, come back here, come back here. You can see that the influence is so strong of the body and the belief. You approach me and you call me by the name of my body. And most times my response will be on that external level. And I need to be very deeply soul conscious when you call me by my name, the name of the body, and I don't respond to you in the consciousness of my physical identity. I respond to you as a soul and connect with you as a soul. You can see how strong, even in Madhuban, never mind Bharat, but in Madhuban, the highest pilgrimage place, it still needs my own inner effort to maintain that awareness of who I am and not be pulled by external things. And so Baba says, ask yourself the question, who is it that I'm following? Am I following God's directions? Am I following human directions? Am I following the directions of my own mind? So three very different categories that Baba's mentioned. My own mind. I have to be able to know myself so deeply that I can see when my mind is playing tricks on me. Are you able to do that? You can see where Baba wants you to be, and something's happened, and your mind plays the trick of getting back into a pattern of an old sanskar. You're telling yourself, but Baba says this, but the influence of that old sanskar is so strong that the mind still gets into that situation. And I'm not even talking about breaking Srimat on an external level. I'm talking about being able to see where it is that I'm not able to keep my consciousness on the level of purity and love and peace and truth that I would like it to be at. I've had the experience that an elevated stage in which the soul is really shining is possible. I think that's the experience that's brought us all together here. If you hadn't had that experience already, why should you have made the pilgrimage and made such a long journey to get here? But you've had a taste of that, you've had a glimpse of that, and you come to be able to deepen that experience. And so I know what it's like when the soul is influenced only by God. Think about Baba's meeting and how 20,000 people, 25,000 people all become silent because Baba is there. And in Madhuban, the contrast is quite incredible. Because until the dadis walk onto the stage, it's like a social gathering. You know, Baba talks about the mela, and the mela is milan, the meeting, but it's also the gathering. And so I see that a lot of people who haven't seen each other for a year or a few months or whatever it is, they take the opportunity to walk across and greet each other and meet each other and chat, and all of that's going on. Even though it's supposed to be yoga going on, some are in yoga, but mostly it's a lot of chat. The daddies come on and there's a wave of excitement and there's a different influence. But as soon as Daddy Gulzar sits there on her own with Baba, that silence is very, very powerful. And then, of course, the drishti. And that is Baba's influence working on us. So influence is not in itself good or bad. but influence can be the highest. And so we have the good fortune of being exposed to the highest influence, God's presence on earth. And Baba's presence gives us joy, it gives us love, it gives us excitement, it gives us power, it elevates us, if we allow it. If my mind is caught up in something else, then Baba's there, but my mind is still working in its own way. But we've had that experience of how Baba Srishti really lifts us up and above. And so that pure, pure influence is something we come to experience in Madhavan. And at different centers, different stages, different people, influence in that very pure, positive state is number wise. Many of you would have had the experience of how when you take drishti from the dadis, what's happening there? They're able to bring Baba's light and might into the situation so that then they influence us in a way in which our mind becomes quiet. Literally, questions stop and we're just soaking in that light and that love. According to Drama, we've had their support for all these years. But now, Drama is shifting, Drama is changing. And so now, what we have to learn to do is to be in the presence of God the Son, so that that light and that energy is working on us without the human instruments. But then of course, yes, we all become the human instruments to be able to influence others and give them the experience that we've had the good fortune of having. My mind influencing me and being able to see where it is and moving out of Baba's influence and letting old sanskars take over is something that I need to be able to check and understand for myself. But of course, the other aspect, you know, manmat, my mind influencing, then the second aspect, parmat, the influence that's coming from outside. And Baba today spoke about atmosphere influencing. And so many of you comment that when we're here, we're in Baba's lab and we go back home and we go to the office. Somebody wrote that they got back to their home country. They just wrote a couple of days ago they left. They were here in Madhavan and just left a few days ago. And she's saying that it's like the difference of heaven and hell. And for me, I remember the first time I'd come to Madhavan in 66. And I wasn't properly in Gyan, I was just a kid. So how much would I have understood Gyan anyway? But I just remember being in Madhavan, Pandavabhavan, and Pandavabhavan was so basic and simple. But it was a feeling of being in paradise. The love, the joy, the purity, the beauty. Sakhar Baba was there, the Dadi, Didi Manmohini was here, and other Dadis were around. And as soon as I got to Abu Road, I cried. Because I thought, I've left heaven and come into hell. And I don't know how many of you still see Abu Road in that way. It hasn't changed much since those days. But really, the confusion, the noise, and, you know, the dogs, the cats, the cows, and everything else. Really, it was such a contrast. So you don't even have to wait to get back to your own home country. Just go down the mountain and you see it. It's visible. But influence of vibrations, influence of environment. Lady Janki said a very, very powerful and beautiful thing way back when there was practically no service happening abroad. She said that either you live in a family, spiritual family, or if you leave the spiritual family to go on service somewhere, the purpose of going somewhere is to create a spiritual family. And so, very quickly, wherever it is you go, create a spiritual family. And that happens through sharing, through vibrations and words and ideas and beliefs, so that then you're influencing others around you. So that there's a change that's happening. Not in the whole country maybe, but certainly at home, in your office, at work, wherever it is, start sharing and influencing in a positive way so that things shift. And so either I'm in a family, or wherever I go, I create a family. And so that's what Brahman life is about, creating little families here and there. But influence of atmosphere, influence of vibrations, and we've seen how we need to be so careful and just pay attention so that we're not influenced by those things, but rather we're able to exert an influence. I must have had many people tell me that people in an office used to smoke, and this is before all the laws came in, certainly the Western world, and you can't smoke in public places anymore. But they would say that, and this is before these laws came, they say that gradually people in my office stopped smoking, and so now no one smokes. A number of people must have told me that. And so influence. And so start influencing in a very conscious way, in a powerful way, so that things shift for the better. But I'm seeing that Lokic influence is easy to detect. That this is Lokic, and this is Baba, and my choice is to be with Baba. But what's very much more difficult is being able to perceive influences from the Brahman family. And I'm not giving away any secrets when I tell you that everyone is number wise. And so be very perceptive about whose company you keep. There are some influences that will help you come closer to Baba. And there are other influences that at that moment you don't realize it. But afterwards you look back and you see that the time that I spent with this individual, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it was, did it bring me closer to Baba? Or did it take me away from Baba? Did it reinforce my faith? Or did it create doubt? Was I able to know more of goodness and specialities of others? Or was my mind polluted by criticism and things that were negative about others in the Brahman family? Just keep watch on what's going on within your own inner world. And so when Baba says, check, 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 it's not just ticking boxes on a sheet at the end of the day, but more I see that as we move forward on a more and more subtle level, and I do feel that things are becoming more and more subtle, like even Baba's coming. When Baba would come before, there would be, you know, a big jerk when Daddy Gulzar went into trance, and then another little jerk when Baba came. And this time, it all happened in such a subtle way. At what time did Daddy Gulzar go up? And how quickly did Baba come down? It was almost imperceptible. Almost. But it was. You could notice. But it wasn't dramatic in any way. And so even that has become subtle. And so what are the subtle influences of human beings? BKs. It's the Brahmin family I'm talking about, not Lokiks. What are the influences that the Brahmin family has on me? And a very easy way to check all this is not just am I closer to Baba, but also my level of happiness, inner happiness, not external happiness. Good company and I have a good cup of coffee or an ice cream, and that's not what I'm talking about. But somebody who's shared some churnings, some experiences that have really given me a fresh insight, that have made me more aware of Baba and Gyan in a different way. So that inner happiness that comes, and I'm sure Brahmins know the difference between the happiness that comes from external things and the happiness that comes from deep down within. But also another aspect, and that is the whole thing about Srimad. What would Baba say in this or about this, rather than what does the human beings say? If I ask myself the question, what would Baba say about this? And I think most of you have heard enough Muralis to know what Baba would say about a particular situation or a person or anything. And so let me be very, very careful about the company that I keep and the influences that I expose myself to. Maybe it's not human influence. There's another addiction. It's interesting that towards the end of Kali Yuga, there's more and more addictions that keep coming in. 30 years ago, I don't think there were drug addictions in the same way as there are today. Certainly when 50 years ago I was at school, nobody took drugs. It wasn't on the scene. And that's gradually happened. Shopping addictions. We didn't hear about that some years ago. But now it's very much part of the scenario. So different types of addictions, and the one that I'm thinking about now has only come in within the last 20 years, and that is computer addiction, screen addiction. And it really is an addiction. I think it was in Malaysia when I was there earlier this year in June, and there was a gathering of teachers. It was a youth ministry, and I thought I'd be meeting young people, but then they told me it was the educators who influence youth. So it was a gathering of the educators, so I don't think there was anybody under 30 years of age in the room. But they had a very interesting thing to say. And they said to me that young people today have forgotten how to sleep. And I thought that was very odd, and I told them to explain more because I hadn't come across it. And they said that what they do is young people stay up through the night into the early hours of the morning, maybe 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock, and then they're so exhausted that they go to sleep. But the timetable at university and school and everywhere is still the same, around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And so they're so sleep deprived that when they come into whatever it is they're supposed to be doing, they can't focus, they can't concentrate. Real story from Malaysia. I don't know where Mirabel is, but I think she was with me in that particular gathering. So addiction, and maybe Brahmins are not as addicted as that because Amrit Vela is a strong pull. We know that that's the time to meet with Baba, and so we won't work through till, or do we? But anyway, there's a cut-off point at some time. But I'm thinking about not so much the addiction to work and the workaholics that this particular group has, but more another type of screen addiction, which is watching all sorts of rubbish that is then influencing the soul. I don't know whether it applies to anybody here, and you don't have to put up your hands to acknowledge it, but it is a reality within Brahmins now that this new addiction has come in. And what happens is that whatever you're seeing, you know, why did Baba say cinema sin ki ma? You've heard that? The mother of sin, cinema. In those days it was just the big screen, the cinema, and that was new and that had come in. But what I see has a very, very big impact on the soul. More so than what I hear. I mean, even what I hear can go racing around in my mind and I can't stop thinking about it. This is where the story comes of the mouse that was able to bring down the elephant, or the ant that could bring down the elephant. Can an ant bring down an elephant? A little ant. Can it bring down an elephant? They say it can. And the explanation that Baba has given about it, he is a Maharathi, a strong soul. But a little ant creeps into their ear. They hear that somebody said something about them. And that goes into their ear and it reaches their brain and it doesn't get out of their brain and it goes round and about and about and it's eating away all the energy and bang, the stage of the Maharathi crashes. So ant can bring down an elephant, a Maharathi. But the other day I saw a mouse at night. First it was making this noise, and then, actually I should call it a rat rather than a mouse. It wasn't a little mouse, it was a big rat. And I saw this rat, and because I turned on the light, and it was the speed of lightning with which it moved. But I got a glimpse of it. It's big. And I kept reminding myself, I'm a soul, I have to remember. But this image of this big thing kept coming into my mind. And I don't know when I finally fell asleep. It must have been quite a long time afterwards. But it again reminded me of how strong images are. You know, the noise that I'd heard, that went out of my mind, but the image didn't. And so, cinema. Yeah, I don't think many people go to the cinema, and you don't have to put up your hands if you do. That's between you and your own conscience. But internet, YouTube, all the things that are now so readily available, even on a little phone, this little, simple, little phone. And what are the images I'm seeing? What is the impact that it's having on my consciousness? And to what extent does it allow me to remember Baba? And so, Parmat, the influence that's coming from outside, anything that comes from the external, that's what it is. It's an influence. What is the one way in which I can again come back to my original stage of purity? And of course, if I have that original stage of purity, I also have peace and happiness. And if I don't have that original stage of absolute squeaky clean, bright and sparkling, satopradhan gold, then there's influences working. The only way it can happen is when I have that link with God. And I have God's influence working on me. It's the only way in which I can again become pure. There is no other way. And anything else that's coming in, whether it's my mind, my sanskars, internet, people, words I hear, all the other things that I've spoken about, they will just pull me down. They won't allow me to go up. And so this is why Baba has made himself available for us with all the different relationships. I think about Baba as the mother. Do you remember all the things of your childhood? Of course you do. It's influence. The things your mother used to say, the things your mother used to do, the things your mother used to teach you. It's there. Your father. Your friends. One of the signs, they say, of Kali Yuga reaching its limits, the end of Kali Yuga, is where a child no longer is influenced by parents, but by friends. Interesting. And definitely we see that happening. Parents are saying one thing, are trying to instill values in a very specific way, but the norm within my peer group, within the social circle I move in, the influence of my friends is stronger than what my parents have taught me. And so that influence is working. And you see Kali Yuga accelerating to its total impurity and degradation. So the form of mother, Baba's influence, the love, the compassion, the care, the father's influence, the power, the authority, the joy, the property of happiness that Baba's giving me, the teacher's influence. The friend who's always available and always concerned with benefit for me, my progress, and supporting me and helping me. And then the Sadhguru, the influence of truth on the soul that's going to lead me to my destination. The influence of falsehood has been so strong that I didn't even recognize that it was falsehood. But now, to what extent am I open to the influence of the Sadhguru? And you can see the connection of Srimat and Sadhguru. Baba uses this term, the color of company. And that's what influences. It colors you. It changes your color from whatever you were to whatever it is that's now. And the only influence that can allow me to come back to my Satupradhan stage, where I become so powerful that I am able even to influence matter, and matter begins to follow all the subtle laws and orders of the masters of the universe, of nature itself. It's an amazing thing. The soul so pure that nature is there simply to serve. And certainly, nature is in no way confrontational. Nature is wanting to share its abundance, all that it has. But I have to get to that stage. And the only way is Baba's company coloring me and influencing me. On the one hand, Baba uses this image of metal and gold and coming back to that pure gold and all the alloy that's removed. But another image that Baba uses that's also very helpful for me is how the seed contains within itself everything. But the seed needs the energy of the sun, it needs the earth with all its nutrients, it needs the water reaching it so that everything can then germinate and emerge in the right way. So I, the deity soul, and yes, it's my belief, it's my faith that I'm a deity soul, and you have to ask yourself that question, whether Baba's influence on you has been such that you believe that you are a deity soul, or you're just thinking about it, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But my hope is that you reach that point where you believe, I am a deity soul. And so how come it's not yet happening in a visible way in my actions and behavior? And my actions and behavior are not so deity-like, not so divine. I need all those influences. The warmth, the heat, the energy, the water, the nutrients. And if I focus on keeping the other seed, it's potluck. If it gets it, fine. If it doesn't get it, what can the seed do? It can't determine its own destiny, its own fate. But the living seed, I can check. Why is it that that divine virtue, those qualities that Baba wants me to express in my life, and somehow I'm not yet able to express, what's going on? And the influence of the sun to actually take that light and power, that energy from Baba, but also to take Baba's love, the water of love. I have to be able to take Baba's love. Humans, they're here today, how long they'll be with me, I don't know. The Dadis are not immortal. Baba's making the soul immortal, and in Satyug, yes, the soul's so powerful that nature, even though there's a process of aging, it's not a sad process. In Kali Yug, even in Sangam Yug, yes, we see the wisdom of the soul, and then we see matter not supporting and cooperating, and the soul having to take a big leap and go beyond. Very interesting. But in Satyug, the body will age, but it will never come to the point where it doesn't support the soul. Now we see a lot of that happening in Kali Yuga especially. But that stage where the soul is absolutely supreme. But today, I want those divine qualities to emerge. And where am I going to get that water of love? I have to be able to make that link with God so that the water of love surrounds me and I'm able to take what it is I need to keep that influence working on me. And the earth, the nutrients, Baba's Gyan, all the knowledge that Baba has given me provides me with all that I need to be able to have the power, the strength to be able to emerge the right qualities. It's actually a switch, a reminder to the self that my role in Kali Yuga is over and the sanskars of that part have to finish and the sanskars of the deity role have to emerge. Baba talks about the battle came in today's Murali Yudhishthir, the supreme, the one who teaches us how to fight. And if I go through the fight very quickly, instead of allowing it to continue over a long period of time, there is a battle, but I can choose how long I stay engaged in the battle and how quickly I deal with the battle and make my decision and make the switch and come out the other side. And you don't have to wait till you go home and then come to Satyug to make the switch, because it's not going to happen like that. The switch has to happen now, at this moment, to be able to make that shift and come to that. So, Baba's influence, that's the one that I want. That influence will allow all the goodness within the soul to blossom and the flower will start blooming. So today Baba used that image of the gardener, and Baba's come to change the thorns into the flowers. And so the sooner I become a flower, the happier I'll be with myself. And when others see a flower, you automatically smile. It happens in the Laukic world. When you see flowers here and there, it gives you a smile. And so let me be a flower that's able to give happiness to others. But I think it's a very powerful motivation that has to happen within the soul. Where do I want to go? What is it I want to be? And when I made that decision for myself, then I have to protect myself from whatever are the other influences. Baba talks about the cave of introversion. And that doesn't mean cutting myself off from everything, but it does mean spending time inside. And it's not even a question of not being involved, but just even using the early morning hours in a very positive way. So early morning, that's my time to go in, and going in, just sorting things out and seeing what are the influences. Would I have said this if Baba's influence had been there? So what happened? I let my sanskaras influence me. Okay, it happened, but now I want Baba's influence to work on me. Would I have done this if Baba's influence had been working? So why did I do this? Because somebody I'm attached to said, well, let's do this. And so I said, okay, fine. And maybe it wasn't even just an instant thing. Maybe it was over a period of time that they were saying, well, you know, we should do this, we should do this, this is what we should do. And because they were chewing away at my ear, at some point then, I forgot what it is Baba wants me to do, and my attachment to them and my dependency on them made me say, okay, fine, let me do this. The whole subject of influence is actually what leads us to become victims. I'm thinking about how if I'm a victim, I want something from the other, and I think they're the one who's going to give me that, and so I allow myself to come under their influence. I'm with Baba. If I'm allowing human influence to work, then what can I take from Baba? I can't. But I have to make that decision that Baba can give me everything I need. I don't need to be a victim. I don't need anything from so-and-so. I don't need to be influenced by them. Because if I allow that human influence to work, definitely my conscience gets locked and I don't know what it is I need to do. But equally, if I allow old sanskaras to keep influencing me, again, I'm stepping out of Baba's influence on me, and I'm a victim of my own sanskaras. But early morning, I can see all these things very clearly. At the end of the day, Baba says, keep a chart, and yes, but I know that for most of us, we're quite tired by the end of the day, and we don't see things as clearly. But early morning, Amrit Veda is not for all this. Amrit Veda is really to take from Baba. But there's enough time between Amrit Veda and Baba's Murli to just, whatever else it is you're doing physically, fine. But just to let the soul keep looking at itself and reflecting while you're having a hot drink or a cold drink or whatever it is you drink in the morning. But the mind doesn't look at the water. The mind is in its own world. And so what am I doing with my mind at that time? Time for reflection, time to go inside. And so that's what I need to do. love and joy. Purity is not harsh. Purity is beautiful, very attractive. Om Shanti.